This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is Frida Liu. It's Race Again. Roshan Tiran from Leadernomics, right? It's a fever going on at the moment. And it's a lessons learned from Maradona, although he's not featured this time around. But so anyway, before we get into lessons learned from Maradona, who are you? Who do you think will take back the cup? Yeah, we'll take the cup.
I always support underdogs, you know. But in this case, I you know, half the World Cup is made of European teams, so I just hope a European team doesn't win it because they seem to win it all the time. So it'd be nice if, I mean, at this stage now, I guess it's only Argentina or Brazil.
Right.
Hopefully, one of them takes it. You know.
Okay, like that. Okay, so I know you had this planned series for everybody, but each person seems to have a special moment their own, right? Yeah. I know you want to do Ronaldo and Messi and Maradona, but we only have time for Maradona.
Absolutely,
today.
Yeah, today.
So why Maradona?
Yeah, you know, I think for me, I grew up when I was a young boy, and I tell you this moment. I mean, World Cup was not live like it is today, yeah. Right? So I mean, you hardly saw World Cup games, and the 82 World Cup was probably, you know, there was bits and pieces of games that were flashed. But the 1986 World Cup was one of the first World Cups that had quite a few matches that was live.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was a young boy, and that was a World Cup that was really my first real World Cup. And, you know, when I watched this stocky, you know, somewhat not good looking fellow, you know, he just defied the odds to become the best ever football player. At least to me, I was like, whoa. And at that time, you had Platini, you had a couple of good players, you know, the Brazilian team had a whole bunch of players that were fantastic, and in fact the Brazil team was probably the best team if you look at it skill by skill across the board. Argentina was a pretty weak team, but then you just got mesmerized by this guy Diego Armando Maradona, right? I mean, he single-handedly ripped apart teams. I mean, with his skill, with his ability with the ball, with his amazing movement, with his hand, you know, when he needed to. I started to believe that actually anything is possible, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if this guy, who is just, you know, body shape wise just not, you know, shouldn't be the world's best player, could be the world's best player.
There's hope for all of us.
Hope for all of us. And so that's kind of why Maradona always...
You know how they love their... They always just forget their first names. You know, they're just known by their last name, right?
Yeah, right.
You know, all these, you know, Pele and all these people. So, and like, you know, Diego Armando Maradona, in case you needed to know that.
Yeah, his full name.
Tell us a little bit more about Maradona.
Yeah, so Maradona was a kind of a poor boy born 1960s, 30th October in Llanos. This is a kind of a suburb out of Buenos Aires.
Mm.
But he was raised in this place called Villa Florentino, which is kind of a shanty town on the southern outskirts of Buenos Aires. And his family was really poor. He was the first son, so the family had three daughters, and then he was born, and then he had two brothers after them. All his other brothers also played football. But he started playing for Argentina Juniors. Then he went to Boca Juniors, Barcelona, Napoli, Sevilla, and finally to Newell's Old Boys. But he's probably most famous for what he did at Napoli, where he single-handed, I mean, a very bad Napoli team. He took them to win the Serie A first time ever. And it's really the first time that Southern team had ever won it, and internationally he took Argentina. I mean, he had 91 caps, scored 34 goals, and he's the only football player to set two world record transfers. So first, when he moved to Barcelona, that was a world record of £5 million pounds that was paid.
Wow.
And then from Barcelona he moved to Napoli for another world record. At that time was £6.9 million pounds. He's the only player to today to set two world records for transfers. And he played in four World Cups, including the 86 World Cup where he captained Argentina, and he won at that time not Germany but West Germany in the final. He didn't score in the final, but he won the Golden Boot as the tournament's best player. He did score in the quarterfinals and the semifinals, and that's also the same tournament that the historic 2-1 win over England, where he did two things. First, his first goal was the most controversial goal of all, which he claims it was the hand of God, and throughout history that hasn't been known as the hand of God goal. But the second goal was voted FIFA's goal of the century.
Right.
So, you know, in the same game, he had controversially, you know, literally punched England out of the World Cup, and then had the best goal ever of the century according to FIFA. To me, I think Maradona is one of the best football players, if not the best, for me. Part of my reasoning is that, firstly, I wasn't around when Pelé played. So I never really got a chance to see how great he was. But my other reasoning is that, unlike Pelé, right, or even Messi, to some extent today, Maradona never played for really good teams. You know, he always played for rather average teams. You know, when prior to coming to Napoli, no other team in southern Italy had won the championship. None. And then Maradona came and they won it, you know. And he won two titles. Then he took a very average Argentina side. I mean, if you really recall the Argentina, you won't remember anyone from Argentina's 86 World Cup. You know, you're maybe Buruchaga, maybe Waldano. You may remember a few of them, but generally, you probably remember some of the other guys in Brazil or the Platinis and others. So he took a very poor, but every average side to victory in 86. And then he took a very poor Argentina team in 1990 to the final. And you know, if not for that penalty, the very controversial penalty, Jurgen Klinsmann's dive, Maradona may have had two World Cup titles. You know,
right.
So that's why, to me, like, if you look at Pelé, right, Pelé, when Pelé's World Cup wins, right, he had people like Vava, Didi, Garrincha, Tosto, Rivellino, Jairzinho, Gerson. I mean, all these were all superstars that played with Pelé. So you know, to me, I always say that this guy truly was the greatest ever. You know, look at his size, look at the way he... I mean, he's not the tallest player, yet he'd score on headers. I mean, he just embodied probably the best ever.
I mean, just to the fact that he was around for four World Cups.
Yep.
That's 16 years.
Yep. You know, amazing,
so,
right?
Yeah,
you know, and he could have been around for five. I mean, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But I mean, the 78 World Cup where Argentina won, he was the best youth player in Argentina, but he was not chosen.
So what lessons can we learn from the man?
Yeah, so I mean, I think the first thing I must say is that I know a lot of people. I know when I write about Maradona, people always say, you know, how can you write about this guy? He's a disgrace. You know, look at him on drugs and cocaine and so on. So I think the first lesson before we go into the real other lessons is, you know, when you become successful, don't be arrogant, because I think part of Maradona's pitfall is that, you know, when you become best in the world, there's arrogance, and then, you know, all the other things in life take over. So I think that's important to point out.
Okay.
I'm not you know, kind of promoting Maradona for the life after football.
The life during.
Yeah, and okay. I think there's some wonderful lessons to learn, because you'd be surprised, because I think the first lesson I learned is that Maradona never played for money. And I always feel that, I mean, even this World Cup, money is kind of the root of all failure. I mean, if you look at the African teams, I mean, we were just talking about this, the African teams all wanted money and they all lost, literally. You know, first Cameroon, then Ghana even did something even more spectacular and outshined Cameroon by the way they flew, they forced their president to fly down in a private jet with $3 million to pay the players, and then they kissed the money, and then they lost Portugal right after that. So, you know, I think money is something that not necessarily is going to give you success. And I think Maradona never played for money, because there's a legend that he was offered more than $100 million to help promote soccer in the United States in 1988 in a bid to help promote the beautiful game in the US before the 94 World Cup. Yet he turned this offer down because it was not about football. And he was with one of the best teams in the world, with Barcelona. Yet he opted to go and play for Minos Napoli in Italy. And I think it's because Maradona loved the game. He loved to play every minute. He loved to play every part of it. He was always tackled roughly, but unlike Suarez, who will roll around the ground, you know, four times and try to get somebody sent off, Maradona, you know, he was everybody tackled Maradona, but he just got up because he just loves football, you know.
Yeah.
And I think even in 1990, right, he literally had no legs, you know. I mean, he had one leg was cropped, and he just banged a bunch of painkillers in him, and he played with pain throughout the finals, and somehow he managed to go all the way to the World Cup final, you know, in pain. And I think this is an important lesson for us. I mean, do you really love what you do? I mean, do you do the work that you do because you love the work that you do, or because it is your job? And I think it's a question that many of us need to ask, you know. And I think Maradona loved his work, and because he loved his work, it showed in his artistry of his work. And I think that's important, you know. Love what you do. And I think that's where passion comes out. So the question, I think my first lesson is always asking myself, as I watch this man, it's like, do I love what I do? And,
right.
And is this just a job? And when you do love what you do, I think your whole perspective of what you do, you know, even if people tackle you and all kinds of obstacles come your way, as Maradona, you just get up.
And the thing is, like, even with your point here, he played the game.
Yeah.
You know, he played the game. You know, it wasn't always about money in the early days.
Yeah.
You know, and he played
now
the
maybe
game
with all his tax evasion issues. But then back then
it was about playing the game.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, now we'll talk about other things in just a moment, and we're talking about the legendary Maradona in our World Cup special, if I may call it. We're Roshan Tier for Leadernomics. This is Raise a Game, BFM 89.9.
Business filled minds, BFM 89.9.
It's Raise Your Game, and Roshan Tier from Leadernomics here. We're talking about leadership lessons learned from Maradona. Lessons learned from Maradona, anyway. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Of course, because it is Brazil 2014, you know, and everyone's crazy about this. So, and the first lesson that you're talking about how was that he played the game because he loved
playing the game, you know.
Yeah, and sometimes we have to remember that, you know, to play the game and not to get
caught up with all the side thrills that are on the
sidebar. Or constipated. And the next one is he took matters into his own hands.
Yeah,
literally.
And I think this is interesting. You know, great leaders, I think they when things don't go your way, you take charge. You take matters into your own hands. And I mean literally in Mario's case, because in the 80s, right? I mean, I think backdrop to the whole hand of God situation is that
it was
Britain,
God. It wasn't him. Okay.
Yeah, but Britain and Argentina, the two teams that were playing each other, right? I mean, in the 80s, there was a war that was happening called the Falklands War.
Yep.
So this war, you know, was the backdrop to this 86 World Cup match between Argentina and England. So to many Argentines, including Maradona, Britain were the oppressors and the poor Argentines the victims. I mean, nothing could be done. I mean, to some extent, you know, nothing could be done because, you know, there was a war going on and Britain was pretty much, you know, in charge. I mean, it was pretty much the guys that were controlling the whole piece.
Right.
And this is when suddenly Maradona stepped in and he took the law into his own hands. And this is... And literally, when I say law into his own hands, I mean really literally into his own hands, right? I mean, because the replays show that the first goal was scored by striking the ball with his hand. And Maradona was kind of coyly evasive, you know. He described it a little with the head of Maradona and a little with the hand of God. I mean, that's how he described it. And so it became known as the hand of God. But ultimately, on August, in 2005, many, many years later, you know, almost 20 years later, Maradona acknowledged on a television show that he hit the ball with his hand purposely. And no contact was made with his head. And he knew the goal was illegitimate, but you know, he just wanted to make the law. He wanted to make a point that he could take the law into his own hands. But again, you know, right immediately, 4 minutes later, he scored a goal that was voted by FIFA as the greatest goal of World Cup history, you know. So I mean, and if you look at even the Brits, right, I mean, the radio commentator, Brian Butler, you know, on BBC was saying this, Maradona turns like a little eel, he comes away from trouble, a little squant man, comes inside Terry Butcher, leaves him for dead, outside Fenwick, leaves him for dead, puts the ball away. That's why Maradona is the greatest player in the world. I mean, this is the Brits, you know, in Britain, and you know, the Brits were well and truly beaten by Maradona. And in spite of this legitimate goal, most English supporters just stood in awe of this great man. He had tamed the roaring lions of England, and he did it the Maradona way. And I look at it, you know, if you are angry about something, if there's injustice, like, do you have a cause that you believe in? Would you be willing to put up your hand and be counted for it? And I think many people talk a lot. We talk about, you know, hey, you know, this is bad. That is bad, you know, this field is messed up, you know, the authorities don't clean this up. Why can't you be a Maradona and take things into your own hands?
But legitimate ones, yeah?
Yeah, sure. Or, you know, as far as Mario's concerned, his goal is legitimate because the referee said it was a goal, right?
So. Yeah. Oh, okay. The hand of God. It wasn't
the hand
of
God. Yeah. But I think it's important for leaders to sometimes stand up and be counted, you know?
Okay. If at first you don't succeed, try again and again. So this in this point here, what context?
Yeah. So number three is if at first you don't succeed, try again. And I think in 1977, Maradona was, you know, made his international debut. So he started playing senior football at the, you know, at the age of 16. And the following year, his country actually hosted the World Cup, and in 77 he actually was the best player in the Youth World Cup. But somehow in 1978 he was not selected for the Argentina football team. And he was really, really disappointed because to him, you know, wow, I had already started playing for the national team and somehow I was not selected for the World Cup. And this disappointment, you know, was pretty hard on him, but you know, he didn't give up. He said, I'm going to keep working harder. And then in 1982 World Cup, he was officially the best player in the world.
Wow.
So Barcelona had paid a world record transfer fee and he was destined to be king of the world at the World Cup. So all eyes were on Maradona. Yet tragedy unfolded. You know, he was constantly marked out. He was aggressively tackled upon. And in one of the games against Brazil, he just lost his cool and he got sent off. And his red card essentially marked the end of his journey for Argentina, who were the defending champions, and Maradona's fall from grace couldn't be faster. You know, Barcelona wanted to get him out. He was miserable in Barcelona. He had an ankle break from a bad tackle. He had numerous bouts of illness. He had hepatitis, and he never succeeded at Barcelona. And Barcelona ultimately sold him. Again, you know, this could be, you know, imagine you missed out the World Cup, and then you went to the World Cup, and you got sent off, and because of that, your country lost, and then you are playing for best team in the world, and you're just hopeless, and the team wants to get rid of you. But did that deter Maradona? No, he was determined to succeed, and he did that. He pushed Napoli to greatness, and in 86, again, he single-handedly won the cup for Argentina. And if you look at Maradona's early struggles, it was kind of easy to give up and say, you know, bad luck, my ankle broke, I get hepatitis, I have misfortune, bad karma, you know, all these things happen in my life. And you can just say, you know, it's just not going to work out for me. And a lot of people do that, right? I mean, a lot of people have these tragedies and setbacks push you back and say, you know, I had the potential, but somehow, you know, God didn't want it. Or, I mean, we kind of, you know, blame everybody around us. But Maradona didn't. No, he kept trying and trying and trying, and he finally succeeded. And I think we have to ask ourselves, what about us? Do we give up when bad luck or misfortune hits us?
Right.
Or do we keep relentlessly focused on the dream? You know, and that's a question that each of us need to ask, you know.
Okay, the fourth one. He worked tirelessly to become a genius and bring new innovation to life.
Yeah, and I you know, there's
innovator.
I think Maradona's an innovator. I really think. I mean, he was one of the, to me, one of the first few players that, you know, maybe Pelé, you know, with some of the unique things he brought in too. But Juvenal wrote in this magazine called El Grafico that the difference between the genius and the rich of talent is that the latter makes perfectly the things that are already invented, and the genius invents what does not exist. A rich of talent solve problems that are difficult to be solved and can do it in a brilliant way. A genius solve things that can't reasonably be solved. For this reason, Maradona was a permanent generator of surprises, an admirable manufacturer of the unexpected thing, the different thing. Now, I mean, the hand of God, the crazy dribbles, the you know, I just don't know how gravity, you know, played the part, you know, because, you know, you got this pretty stocky guy who could somehow miraculously outbeat 5-6 players who were much fitter and faster. You know, for some reason, he was just an innovator. I mean, the things he did with the ball, the things that he brought to the table, you know, I think he was a genius. I think many people who grew up in the 70s and 80s think that Maradona is a genius. And a genius does not just improve or better product services. They reinventing, they conjure something new. And Maradona is always seeking new ways of making new things come alive. I always found it incredible watching Maradona because he just did some impossible things on the football field. And that's what an innovator is, right? I mean, they bring new things to life.
Yeah.
They look at something and say, I could do it differently.
Mm.
I mean, even the hand of God, right?
Mm.
If you punch the ball, the referee would have seen it. It's just the way he was gracefully, like you know, it's slow, like such motion that it looked like his head hit the ball and somehow his hand, you know, that extra bit came out. And he was not a natural goal scorer, yet he reinvented himself to be one. I mean, this, to this short, stocky man, nothing was impossible. And I think that's what inventors and innovators are. They look at a problem and they say, you know, I can fix it, I can solve it, and I can take it to the next level. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the question that we should be asking ourselves in our work. You know, look at our work and say, hey, how can I invent? How can I make this better? How can I, you know, put places where I can save time, where I can add value, where I can cut costs, I mean, there are lots of things you can do to become an innovator. So innovation is not something you invent new things. It can be things that you can take something and make something new out of this same thing that's out there, you know.
Okay, so to reinvent yourself, I think that's also important. In your current job, I mean, looking at your job right now, if you don't like what you do, you know, what are you doing to change or reinvent yourself? Yeah. All right. And the fifth one.
Yes, the fifth one is be a heretic, a disruptor, and be cunning. You know, and I think you know, the French newspaper L'Equipe described Maradona as half angel, half devil, and part of the reason Maradona is constantly prescribed as a rebel and a heretic is because of his early upbringing and his rebellious nature. And although this may not be a great part of Maradona, his greatness shone when he did non-traditional things. You know, the most non-traditional thing that he did was to go to Napoli.
Mm.
Because Napoli, you if you want to play in Italy, you go to the Juventus, to the Milans. You don't go to a place like Napoli to win titles, you know. You go to Napoli to retire, you know. But But he defied Italian dogma and he went there. And that's very non-traditional for the world's best player to go to a small Italian club called Napoli.
Yeah.
And Napoli had never ever won the title, and he just wanted to prove, again, he just wanted to prove I can do it, that nothing is impossible. And I think the heretics and disruptors of the world do not care what other people think about them. Some people got upset with Maradona for his cunning hand of God, his cunning controversial goal. He didn't care one bit. You know, others viewed it as a very clever move, with one of the opposition players in the game, Glenn Hoddle, admitting that Maradona had disguised it cunningly in flicking his head at the same time as palming the ball. And like I said, I mean, it was poetry, right? The goal itself has been viewed as being an embodiment of the bonus era shantytown that Maradona was brought up in. And it's the concept of
Viveza Criolla.
Yes, that's right. Native cunning. And I think that being cunning and creative is part of the disruption process. Steve Jobs was cunning. You know, he listened to a lot of things that Bill Gates did, and then he came up with the iPad, you know. Bill Gates essentially described the whole thing, you know.
Yeah.
So...
We've heard the what? Innocent as a dove, wise as a serpent. So
absolutely.
In this case, just wise as a serpent. Maybe not.
No. I think also you need to play. I mean, Maradona, you know, after he scored the goal, he was as innocent as, like, you know. So I mean, I think that works very well. And I think that's where they said half angel, half devil, because I think part of it is you know, I remember this story of Mother Teresa. I mean, just to digress a bit. You know, when Mother Teresa went one day to ask for free food from a baker, the baker gave her a tight slap.
Mm.
And she, you know, the humble thing, you know, if you're a Gandhi, you'd say, hey, slap my other side. Yeah.
Mm.
Or, you know, the good thing is if somebody slaps this side, give the other side. That's the humble thing to do. Maharaj was like, okay, thank you very much for the slap at this. Now you better give me my food. He started getting very aggressive. And he did it again. And then she was humble. He took a slap. But then she started being very aggressive. And finally, the guy said, look, take the food, get out of here and never come back.
Mm.
You know, as I listen to the story, I say, you know, Maharaj Teresa can be this angel and say, you slap me. Okay, I'll move on to my next. But you won't get your food. But she was not just an angel. She was also this, aggressive, assertive person. And that's why she became such a great leader, right?
Mm.
She got what she wanted. And I think it's the same process, right? I think it's, Maradona was a genius of flawed variety. But I think his mistakes were not calculated acts of sporting evil. I don't think you would compare Maradona's hand of God to a Luis Suarez bite. It's two, you know, it's one, you know, one is sporting evil and one is, you know, whole different game. You know? And I think the thing is that the big question is, I think we have to ask, are we heretics?
Okay.
Do we conform to the same process, structures, work levels as everyone else? Do we stand out? Or do we want to stand out and be different? I know it may take a bit of guile, it may take a bit of cunning, but if you don't, you will always never be the best in the world.
Mm.
Because these guys have to change the norm.
Right.
And when you change the norm, you have to not agree with the standards of the world. You have to not agree with the processes, the things of this world, because you have to say, I want to be different. And everybody will criticize, will castigate you. But you have to stand out and say, I want to be different.
What do you call it? The disrupt.
The disruptors, yeah.
Mm. So, okay, final thoughts.
Yeah, I think this week as we watch kind of the World Cup semifinals go on, yes, I know no Neymar, no Thiago Silva for poor Brazil. But you know, if you look at all these players, right, every single one of them started out as amateurs. Yet each of them, right, you know, whether it's the folks in Germany or the guys in Holland or the Argentines or Messi or even the leftover, the remnants of the Brazilian squad that will face Germany, you know, all of them started as amateurs, yet they all defied the odds, you know, that were against them, you know, and like Maradona, they all set the world on fire through their love of their craft, their persistency, the ability to change the rules of the game, their hard work and their tireless work, and their ability to never conform to the standards of the world, and you know, sometimes you watch Messi, I just saw him the other day, and the footwork, the way he controls the ball and he turns, I'm like, whoa, this is not conforming to the standards of football. You know?
Right.
And I think the question that we have to end with is,
right,
are you up for greatness? Because you should be.
All right. Roshan Tiran from Leadernomics here. Lessons learned from Maradona and, of course, the World Cup that's happening right now. It's a racy game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station. We'll